Okay. Continuing our study in Corinthians. Now we'll read one verse and that will be it. It says, now, and it is now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry.
Huh?
I don't know. Because this, I mean, this lesson is good, but it's tough to teach because I don't, personally, it's relevant, but not real relevant to our class.
In years past, I may be wrong. But you skipped over this one, not something
else. I thought about that, but I didn't.
This is the first time I have ever studied this lesson and I've been in Sunday school long ago. I mean, I read the Bible, but...
No. But, I mean, there are challenges in marriages. We would all agree to that. And do we see today that maybe compared to even when, let's say, Susan and I first got married, are there more problems and challenges facing couples today?
Yes.
Right. Right.
I don't know how many years ago, but anyway.
Come on.
That'll be 44 this September. Okay.
I've been married 44 years to the same person. That's wonderful.
But I read some different articles and things, and I mean, one, it does say that this passage does arrive from Corinth, and we know that the church in Corinth was just in a total mess. And this one particular writer, he brings out a little point that he sort of thinks that Paul begins to belittle marriage. And he came up with a question. You know, why would Paul do it this way? Thought came up this question, do we know if Paul was ever married? And he goes on to say, if he was married, did his wife leave him because of his teachings and what he was doing? We don't know that.
You know, we do hear people, you get married, and then all of a sudden, sometime in the time frame of marriage, the person changes. Like, we're not nightclubbing people, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, we've been married for a while, and we, one of us meets someone at work that we have come to be friends with, but, and they're a couple, and they enjoy going to nightclubs and doing things, so they start inviting us, and one person wants to go, and the other person don't. So the dissension starts, you know. I mean, so maybe when she married him, she thought he was going to be a stay-at-home mom, and he was going to just hang around there, and they were going to be like all the rest of the families around.
Yeah. Because it says, I mean, he kind of brings out, that, you know, Paul possibly, there was some evidence he was married. He must have been a member of the Sanhedrin, because in Acts 26, chapter 26, verse 10, it says, and this is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Because it says that it was a regulation of the Sanhedrin that they must be married men. Because it said, it was held that married men were more merciful. So.
You know, the Catholics are going kind of back and forth now about possibly letting their
priest marry.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, counseling, when we got married, you know, it's just like a couple of little, you just talk to the preacher a couple of times, but now it's really a big deal, you know, they really encourage the marriage counseling. And you always kind of wonder, he was in the position he is, the priest, how could he counsel these people when hadn't been in the marriage, you know, but he was the head of something.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in such a position that he, you know, everything had to go through him to go through Mary to get to the Lord, so.
But if you're studying Paul, and not that it's different today, but a man like Paul, who that was his mission, that was his journey, he was traveling all the time. Could that have broken up his home? Because he was gone all the time. He wasn't at home. He brings out that it says a married man could have never lived the life of journeying which Paul lived. We go back and we think about, you know, Billy Graham just recently passed away. Look at all the places that he's gone and taught. But his wife went with him at times. He had a group of people with him. But he always came back home for a period of time, and then he would go out again.
But you said, too, you didn't know about Paul's wife, and we all know, like Billy Graham, we knew her beliefs and how strong she was. So naturally, she was supporting him even though he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that revolving on the preachers, how great they could
Yeah. I talk about my cousin a lot, and his wife would tell you being a pastor's wife is hard. Because, like she said, you never know. 3 o'clock in the morning, you get a phone call, and he has to go. And other situations where he's put in a position trying to counsel, let's say, a female, and he really needs somebody else there with him. So he would bring his wife in, and she was very willing to do that. But like she said, it's hard. It's a difficult life at times.
And she's also made the comment, too, you know, that's his best friend, that's his closest confidant, is his wife. In this marriage, we do know that. And so he shares things with her. So we counseled, Oliver and I counseled, and then I asked Brenda, so by the way, did you tell you that I was there for counseling? And then she said, there I am, do I say yes? And then you start thinking, well, did you tell her everything you're talking about? Or do I say no, and that's kind of lying, because I, you know, she said, it really does put her in a position to where, but folks should realize that this is, in their marriage, that's, mm-hmm. that's his best friend, that's who he talks to.
Mm-hmm. Or do we take it that Paul, well, it's not that Paul's really disengaging marriage, but I mean, if we take it in our lives and other people's lives, how sad would it be for you as a married couple for one to be a believer and one not, and Christ come back, and you're separated, and you never know if your partner was saved or not? It's a marriage is an everyday, ongoing type relationship. There are bumps in the road that you work through. But, you know, how difficult would it be for you to be a strong believer and your spouse not be, and not support you in what you do, whether it's the man's a believer and wife's not, or vice versa. How difficult would that be on a person to have a successful marriage?
I think sometimes, like today, in this day, you begin to be resentful, so then that starts. I mean, even as a Christian, but you know, I get tired of getting up every Sunday morning and dressing the kids and leaving, and you're sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come home, you're still sitting there, and you know nothing. And so, I mean, even as a Christian, and being in this, you get resentful or you get envious, because my best friend, her husband, is a believer, and he's here, and you see the interaction with his kids and their dad being a believer, whereas it's just me and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's husband was a Jehovah's Witness, and they had six children. He never went to church, never. He got up every Sunday morning and saw the kids when they dressed, went to church with their mom. When they got home from church, they weren't ready. He supported his kids. He'd only been in church, but he never went.
Mm-hmm. Because we can take from last Sunday's lesson, where we talked about our body being a temple and how we should take care of it. I mean, our bodies, quote, are not ours. They belong to God. Jesus bought us with his blood. So we can say that, you know, if my body belongs to Jesus Christ, then I should abstain from any thought of having any immoral act in my life against my spouse. I think that's what they're trying to bring forth here. Because really, as Christians and married couples, living together, working together, we should work together to exude God and show other people how he works in our lives. But if you go back to that thought of, you profess to be a Christian, single or married, but then your best friends know your actions away from church, that tarnishes the image also.
And it's like Zeta said, two things have changed so much when we got married, and I know when y'all got married, the pornography and the open marriage and the gaming, that was just kind of a life. You sort of talked about it, but you didn't. It wasn't just pushed in your face like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's on the media, it's on the news, it's in the TV shows, it's in the books you read. It's just pushed at you, whereas, you know, 40 years ago, it wasn't quite that open. I hate to say open, but that's what folks want to do.
Well, you knew about it, but you
didn't.
Exactly. It wasn't around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could.
Like the closet, that's what they talk about. You know, that's. And now, I mean, it's just people.
People were ashamed, too, because they knew it was wrong.
Yeah. And that, we don't have to be married. We can live together and have kids and, you know, do our own thing, and then. I mean, and it's wrong.
Yep. Because, I mean, we just touched on this, is. You know, believers are to be content regardless of marital status. And he has another question. What is the relationship between what Paul was teaching and God's expectation of his people living in a God-honoring way? To me, it's the same. Paul was not telling people don't get married. I mean, he did make a statement that, you know, if you could be like I am. So is Paul telling him, I am single, I am not married, and, you know, if you could live your life the way I'm living it. Because, you know, he did say to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But, you know, he goes on that if you should marry, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. But, you know, then you get into the realm of divorce, which is a major topic. It's, you know, it says a wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. What kind of world would we live in if that word was not in our vocabulary and that action was not in our families?
Divorce?
Mm-hmm. Is it better to live in a situation, believing, non-believing, but having major arguments all the time, fussing and fighting, stress and strife in your life? Or is it better to separate and then you live your life the way you want to live it according to God's will and not worry about your spouse?
Idea, well, if it doesn't work,
I'm gone. Yeah. Yeah. I just get a divorce.
Right. And see, all my children, I told them, I said, you find somebody you want to get married to? I said, you better ask them if they don't believe in divorce and if it's death until death do us part. And if it isn't, then you need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the way it's supposed to be.
No.
And it makes you, if you stay in a marriage and you're miserable, you can't have the joy in your heart of serving the Lord, would He want you to stay in that marriage? And if it's a physically abusive marriage, there's so many questions about divorce, and we all have opinions about divorce. And every situation is different. But the Lord, you know, I don't understand how He would want you in something that is abusive, mm-hmm. and you're miserable when, and I know the scriptures tell you that He's gonna take care of me and He loves me and we have to have joy. How do you live like that and be joyful?
In this little app that you have, a lady wrote in commenting on this study, this lesson, how she says she's still married, living apart, but her husband hasn't spoken to her in 2 years. But she's still praying for God's interaction in their lives to bring them back together. She considers herself still joined with Him. She said He did make a comment of solace about somewhat a death in their family, but that's the only conversation she's had with that person for 2 years. So how strong is her faith to want to reconcile that? But do you stop and think, is it ever going to happen? And I'm not saying, is she wasting her time? Or could she come to a point here, if he is a non-believer, not working, should I divorce him and then maybe remarry and find somebody that will be strong with me in my walk? It's a tough situation. Do what? I'd go live with my mother-in-law. That's what I would do.
And I would have nowhere.
But Yep.
You know, when you love somebody so unconditionally with your heart, and that is your whole world on this earth, that's something I'm not talking about, the love that you have for the Lord, but when you're totally in love with that, you do things that you never thought you would do. And what I get, she is so in love with her husband that she's willing to sacrifice and pray for him every day for him to come back.
To be a part.
And I mean, that's the kind of love, I mean, you know, that's what I remember when Vic Crew died, and Brother Billy made this comment. He said, I never realized until this happened between Vic and Susie. He said, but it's when your spouse dies, a part of you dies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you love somebody that hard on this earth, everything, then we all do things that, and we all use the scriptures to help us stay in that person's life because we do love them unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord loves us unconditionally. Okay.
I remember going to the kitchen the first time I was alone, and we could see, and I said, go over there. And I said, it's just part of the film, and I really felt that way.
Yeah. Because Paul does say, and we'll close with this, it says, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him or her do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. And it says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? It says, nevertheless, one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him or her as to which God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches.
You know, and the Bible teaches us too, and you vow, you honor your vows, but it says that the two become one.
Mm-hmm.
So you mesh, you are one, you're not saying one person, but you're one spirit. If you're, I believe, if your marriage is biblical. Now, I'm not even, I'm going about if you're not in the Word. I mean, like, people that get married and they're not Christians and they just do the wrong thing, they feel like, they probably feel like theirs is married and is love each other's weeping. And, you know, it's like you said about divorce. Everybody has something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else got anything to add?
What's next Sunday's?
Y'all come back next Sunday. We don't know what it'll be.
he made a statement last Sunday when he got up there to teach, and he said it was hard. That was really hard. But then he never told us why.
Okay.
And why
was it all over?
Well, last Sunday. No, that's this Sunday.
And he was telling me that this is hard. I was pulling out stuff. I said, you need to read this.
I mean, last Sunday's was about sexual immorality again.
Yeah.
And I'm recording out, you know. I told Linda after class, I said, I started to come in and ask the question, okay, how many of us today want to go out and be immoral? But
you cannot. Oh, this is right.
So I mean, it is.
Even at our house.
Yeah, it's. I don't know.
But the thing was that Brother Quint. But
that,
because he used the same scripture Oliver had that talked about some of the same things that we just talked about. I mean,
he just explained
it, and it was that.
It's not that the lessons are not relevant to this class, but to me,
they would be more relevant to a younger married class, people just starting out.
I think that's why they changed the topic, you know, in the sense of this
assessment. So, anyway.
We're impressed.
The first one, he just put the book down. He said, "You just have to teach this."
Yep. I'm not going.
You carried out really well. Yeah.
Next lesson is something that we're talking about. People have had positive influences in our lives, so that ought to be good.
Linda and I were talking about color and painting and all this. Am I going to get some of those this morning? We could color.
We should stay in the line.
Yes, he would have to check our papers.
Yeah. All right. Okay, does anybody have any answers? Not withstand that.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord.